Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? This is where y'all all were in the early service. I was wondering what was going on. There was like 10 people here, and y'all just all slip in. It's spring break. Hey, it's spring break. My kids aren't even in Caddo schools anymore, but I don't care. I'm taking the whole month off. Are y'all with me? I mean, it's spring break. I figure if it's spring, it's time to take a break. Well, we are working through 2 Samuel. We're in chapter 5, verses 1 through 25. And in seeing this text, here's what came to mind, and I'm going to know how old you are based on your reaction to this. I couldn't help but think of the Magic 8 Ball. Anyone? Anyone? Who knows what the Magic 8 Ball is? That's right. You are all old with me. Or you saw one laying around at your grandparents' house or something. Magic 8 Ball. You wanted to know a decision. And so you would, for those of you who don't know, it was this little thing. I don't know why it was a magic or an 8 Ball. But it was an 8 Ball and had a little window in it. And it had a fluid in it. And it had a little floating triangle or a pyramid or something. And it had like yes, no, and maybe or something were the choices. And you would ask it a decision that you needed to make. You know, should I date this girl? Yes, date Dana. So we got married. And so it works. It's really effective. I can't find mine, so that's really scary. But anyway, you want to know the decisions to make in life, right? And we all want to know that. I really struggle with this at certain times in my life. When I graduated from college, I began a season of 7 years where I had 7 jobs in 7 years. That's right, my poor wife, she's going, absolutely, it was the worst time of my life. I drug her around to 7 jobs. Dana is steady Eddie. She's basically done one thing her whole life, and that's why God brought her to me, to steady me a little bit. So I have not always done this very well, but when we read the text today, verse 12, if you'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12, verse 12 jumps out at you in the middle of this chapter. And this is what we all want to be able to say. Verse 12, David knew, he absolutely knew that the Lord had established him in that job as king over Israel. And he knew why. He knew that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. King David had absolute certainty that he was right where God wanted him, and he knew exactly why he had him there. That's what I want for all of us. That's what God wants for all of us. God wants us to know for certain why he has us, where we are, and for what purpose. And that's what I hope to help you be able to do today after our time looking through this text together. Father, we ask for your help, Lord. Would you help us just have that same certainty that we see King David had, that we would know that you have us right where we are and why we are there. What is the purpose for which you have us there? Lord, help us to know your will for our lives and help us fulfill that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to start with verses 1 through 5, but before we do, let's review what we've been seeing. We've been working all through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and we've been watching his life play out. David's life has been playing out, and if anything, I would say certainty has not been the way I would describe his life. His life has been described with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions of, I thought you said I was going to be king, and now I'm running for my life, hiding in a cave, and running, not sure what I should do, about to kill Saul and all this, and God saying, whoa, 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 don't do that. But we've seen there's been a lot of turmoil, a lot of questions, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of twists and turns, and that's where we connect with him. We go, man, that's what my life feels like so often, is I just don't understand why the Lord has me where he is. And more recently, we have seen Saul, the first king of Israel, has died. His right-hand man, the military leader, has died. His son, who that man, that military man said, you're going to be the next king. That son, Saul's son, Ishbosheth, has died. The people of Hebron have made David king of the southern portion of Israel, which is now called Judah. And so that's where we are. And God said, where should I go? I mean, David said, where should I go? He inquired of the Lord. Lord said, go to Hebron. He went to Hebron, and they made him king there. Now we get to verse 1, and look what happens. Hebron's the southern portion of the kingdom. Israel now is called the northern portion of the kingdom. It's a little confusing because the people are called the people of Israel. But referring to the northern portion of the kingdom, look what happens in verse 1. It says, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron. Now notice who's doing the action here. They came to David. David didn't go up to Israel in the northern kingdom and say, hey, it's time for me to be king. I'm tired of waiting. He's in Hebron. They come down to him in Hebron, and they said, behold, we're family. We're bone and flesh. Now, they start to recognize things in his life. They start to say, here's what we've seen in your life, David. They said, in times past, when Saul was king over us, it was actually you who led us. You led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord, now they're quoting scripture. They're saying, we know what God's word said. We've seen this in your life, and we know that God's word says, you shall be the shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. And so all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Finally, he's made king. He's king over all the land. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, which is the capital city in the northern kingdom, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Finally, he's reached the pinnacle of his career. I mean, we've known this has been coming a long time. The Lord revealed to him when he was just a shepherd boy, hey, you're going to be the king one day. And now we've seen after a lot of twists and turns of trying to figure out what God's doing and trying to know what God's will is for his life. Thought he understood it, but nothing seems to be adding up. Finally, he's there. He's sitting on the throne over all the kingdom. Now, let me just make a few observations from this text that I want to kind of bring into us figuring out how do we discern the will of God for our life. First of all, notice they are coming to David. David's not coming to them. David's not saying, I got to make this thing happen. David has just been described as a man focusing on simply trusting and obeying God, doing the best he can to try to be faithful. One day at a time, let me just be faithful today with what God has shown me to do today. And as he's been doing that, circumstances have been lining up, and the scriptures have been making it clear to us as readers, God is working in those circumstances. God is orchestrating things that we would not know if the Bible didn't reveal them to us, that God is a sovereign, providential God who is working out his good plans and his purposes through our feeble human decisions. Second, we want to recognize that David, they said, we see some things in your life. They would confirm some things about David. They would say, we have seen God has really made you the leader of his people. Even though Saul had the position, God has been using you very powerfully among the people of Israel. So these people are given godly counsel to say, here's what we've seen God doing in your life. That's important. We also see they knew God's word. They said, we know that God's word said, it's through Samuel. In their context, God's word came through Samuel. And they said, Samuel said that you would be king. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, here's what he said. But now, Samuel said, the Lord speaking through Samuel, now your kingdom, Saul, shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, referring to David. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you, Saul, have not kept the Lord's commandments. So they knew that it was God's word that had said David would be king. They knew they had seen God working in David's life. David has just simply been focused on trusting and obeying God. So when you try to discern God's will for your life, This is some helpful tips. This is some helpful observations from the text. That it is very important not to try to discern God's will for your life in isolation apart from brothers and sisters in Christ. You need godly counsel. I need godly counsel. When I go off and I spend a season of time alone in prayer and reading the word and asking God to give me direction for my life, for the church, and for what he's... I come back and I have a whole lot of stuff written down. The first thing I do is start sharing that with my wife and with the staff and with the elders, because that's when they start going, I don't know what you ate that day. And I'm like, okay, yeah, was that too much? I mean, usually mine are too much. Like, I share the staff, we're going to plant 400,000 churches. And they're like, let's start with 5. Because I need godly counsel. I need the wisdom of godly people who know God's word, who know me, who know our circumstances, say, let's think through this together. And so do you. But the problem is our pride wants to say, I don't need help. I'm supposed to have all this figured out. I'm supposed to have all the answers, especially if you're in a leadership position. It's easy to believe the lie that you're supposed to have all the answers and you're not supposed to ask. That is such a lie. God has said you need the context of community to discern God's will together. So first, make sure you have godly counsel. We'll use the C's to help you. Counsel. And you're looking for confirmation. You want to say, what I think God is saying, do the others who are godly, does their counsel confirm what I'm seeing? And so you want to submit yourself to the confirmation and counsel of others. The final C is another C is circumstances. God actually works in circumstances, and as you're trying to discern the will of God and you're looking for confirmation, you're looking for godly counsel, there's nothing wrong or unspiritual about considering your circumstances. I'm going to show you how this worked out in David's life, but I never will forget one person that I talked to when I was really struggling about how to know God's will. He said, look, I know God has not called me, I think he said, to be the nose guard for the Green Bay Packers. And I was like, okay, where's this going? He says, because I'm about 5'10", 170 pounds, he ain't calling me to be the nose guard of Green Bay Packers. There's nothing unspiritual about looking at your circumstances, but it's especially helpful to view your circumstances in light of God's word and godly counsel. When you have good, godly friends who know the word of God and you know the word of God, you're able to discern, hey, I think God is moving a certain direction through your circumstances that we together think this might be where God's leading. Think about David's life. David was a shepherd boy. Right? He was just out in the field, supposed to be working with sheep, and he did his father's chores. His dad said, hey, I want you to go take this food to your brothers. I want you to check on your brothers. And David's just doing what he's told to do. He's going and checking on his brothers. His brothers are giving him a hard time. What are you doing here? And he says, I'm just doing what is this giant? Who is this guy? And next thing you know, that day, he's slaying a giant. Right? He slays Goliath. And then the day that God used Samuel to say, we're going to choose the king. He's going to be the son of Jesse. And all of Jesse's boys are lined up. And they're like, Samuel's like, no, no, no. He's like, is this all you got? And he said, well, I got one other son. He's out in the field taking care of sheep. Samuel said, go get him. David wasn't seeking this out. David wasn't trying to exalt himself to power. David didn't have it all mapped out and figured out in advance, this is what God's going to do for me. He was just trusting and obeying the Lord and being faithful to do what his parents told him to do at that time in his life. He comes, next thing you know, Samuel, by God's leading, says, he's the one. I can't imagine the shock that David had that day. Circumstances are lining up in David's life. Then when he had a chance to kill Saul, make it happen, his own timetable. Let me make this happen. This is taking too long. I'm going to take Saul out when he's in the cave, and Saul comes in the cave, and he's like, I could take him right now. And the Lord says, uh-uh. He didn't do that. Then he was anointed king in Hebron. What did he do? Did he say, I'm going to go to Hebron, I'm going to figure out this political strategy, I'm going to do that? No, he just said, Lord, if you'll go back and look at that text, he inquired of the Lord, Lord, what should I do? Should I go there or not? He says, yeah, go there. He goes there and they make him king. That was someone else's doing. He didn't make that happen. He wasn't figuring it out and working it so that he could do that. God was orchestrating the circumstances around his life as he just simply focused on trusting and obeying the Lord. They anointed him king. When he had all those chances to take revenge on all his enemies, now that he's got power, he's half king of half the kingdom, what does he do? Same thing. He's just trying to focus on trusting and obeying the Lord and having godly attitude. He's grieving, he's lamenting, he's honoring. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere seemingly, the elders from up north come down and say, we want to make you king. God is working in the circumstances of your life. He's working behind the scenes in ways you could never imagine. If you just stay focused on trusting him, obeying him, being faithful with what he has revealed, he is going to get you where he wants you. And so what we see in life is there's two ways to think about God's will. The primary will of God and the secondary will of God. Oz Guinness wrote a book called The Call. He talks about it, the primary call or the primary will of God, and then the secondary calling or the secondary will of God. The primary will of God is revealed crystal clear. And it's revealed right here in his word. So when we say, God, what is your will for my life? Put down the eight ball, shake the Bible. Open it up and read it. But don't read it like I did for the first many years of my life. I read it like a lot like that magic eight ball, right? God, what is your will for my life? I'm going to practice. Oh, there's no telling what I'm about to read, all right? We're going to figure out God's will for my life. All right. Now when the virgins, oh my word. Yes, Lord, I heard you loud and clear, right? And I didn't make that up. That literally just happened. That's how I used the word of God. It was like a fortune cookie. And I would say, oh, the Bible, that passage said this today. And then I would look around. And it did not give me anything but misery because I was not using the word of God faithfully. The way you use the word of God to know the will of God is you read it from cover to cover. You understand the whole story. I know it's not easy. You got to get help. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to help you, give you resources. Gospelproject.com? Is that the app? Gospel Project? No. The Bible Project. The Bible Project. Write that down. The Bible Project. Incredible resource. Those guys who make those great videos about each book of the Bible, they keep putting out great stuff. Use tools like that. Gospel Project is also another great tool that we teach. It's a class, but there is so much out there to help you. But to understand the whole counsel of God's word, what God is doing, understanding his plans, his purposes, his promises, all culminate in Jesus, what he is still doing, and then learning all of that builds for you a body of wisdom from which to operate. And as you start to see how you fit into that plan, you get a strong, steady foundation where you can say, I know I am here for a purpose, just like King David. That's the primary word of God. The primary will of God is revealed through the word of God, crystal clear, with black and white letters in a book. Then you go, well, what about the details? What about the secondary will of God? Well, that's more difficult, but I think what you should do is say, okay, does God have something very specific for me? Well, let's first of all know the primary will of God, and then you say, let me seek godly counsel, let me consider what God has been doing through my circumstances. And then you have to do one thing. How does what I think God's saying align with this primary word of God? So let's look at David's life and see if we can see how this is fleshing out. and see if we can help each other do that together. So in 2 Samuel 5:6, it says, the next thing that happened was he's made king, and then what's the first thing he does as king? It says, and king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who said to David, ah, you will not come in here, but the blind and the lame will ward you off because you're nothing, thinking David can't come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. Zion is Jerusalem, and that's the city of David. And David said on that day, well, whoever will strike the Jebusites, let him go up the water shaft and attack the lame and the blind, quote unquote, who are hated by David's soul. Therefore, it is said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. And David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built the city all around from Millo inward. And David became, key phrase here, greater and greater. Why? For the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. I'm not going to go through all that other than say, what is the first thing David did as king? First thing he did, he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. He marched on Jerusalem. He took Jerusalem. He kicked out the Jebusites. And it became known as the city of David. But notice what it says. The author says, David grew greater and greater strength, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. So the author wants us to know this. And anytime you read the text, you want to say, okay, why is the author putting this here? What is he trying to point out? He's saying, David, the key to his strength, the key to his growth was that the Lord was with him. And then in verse 11, he records something else happened. He says, and Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent messengers to David. He sent cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. Now, what is that all about? He's saying that right after he made king, he took Jerusalem, established the holy city, the capital of Jerusalem, and then the northern king, right above the kingdom of Israel, a Gentile king, someone who is a pagan king, comes and starts to bring himself under the obedience of David. He gives them masons, he gives them carpenters, and he serves King David. Why am I wording that way? Because we're going to see this is fulfillment of scriptures. And then the next, after verse 12, skipping verse 12, we get to 13 through 16. He talks about how his family's growing. He has many wives. He has many children. Commentaries disagree about what's going on here. I tend to fall in the camp that think this is foreshadowing his downfall. That he was told in the law of God, don't have many wives. He's collecting many wives, and it ends up leading to his downfall. And then finally, we see he conquers the Philistines, which was also prophesied. So in 2 Samuel 5:17, we'll read, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search out for David. I want you to listen to how he responds in this situation. David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out and all out throughout the valley, and David inquired of the Lord. That phrase has been repeated over and over and over all throughout David's life. How did David know God's will? He's constantly inquiring of the Lord. So David inquired of the Lord, and he said, what is your will, Lord? Should I go up against these Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? This is real life snapshot of David trying to discern the will of God in a secondary way. What should I do, Lord? Should I take this job? Should I buy this house? Should I test my kids for this school? Should I do this with my school? Should we date this person? Should I marry this person? Lord, what is your will for my life? A desperate dependence on the Lord's guidance. And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken. See how he knows God is with him and he's trusting in the Lord. He's seeking the Lord. He wants to know what the Lord's will is. And when he moves, he knows it's the Lord who is with him. It's the Lord who is working. It's the Lord who has broken through the enemies before me like the breaking flood. Therefore, the name of that place shall be called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. He is focused on the kingdom work. Only God will be worshiped here. His life is bent towards obeying the Lord for the kingdom of God to reign, removing the idols from the land. And then we see the second The last piece that's recorded is the Philistines came up again a second time in the valley. When David inquired of the Lord again, he said, this time the Lord said, no, don't go up, go around to the rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the troops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then, according to the Lord's timing, the Lord will go out before you and strike down the army of the Philistines. And then what did David do? He did only exactly what the Lord said to do. David did as the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines that day. That's the characterization of David's life. To know the will of God, you have to know the word of God. And then you have to be obsessed with obeying anything God tells you to do. That's how you have certainty. And if you are seeking the will of God, you know what he says in his word, and you're doing your best to discern what God's saying through gospel counsel and looking at circumstances, at the end of the day, if God gives you a clear word, go, then you must go. If God gives you a clear word, don't go, then you better not go. But absent any clear word in that secondary will of God concept, absent any clear word, guess what? There's freedom. There's freedom. Do all things to the glory of God. Don't be paralyzed, wondering what is God should I do this or should I do that. If you know God's word and you know his plans, his purposes, his promises, his precepts, man, that will preach. That was four P's in a row. That will preach. If you know what God is doing, if you know his wisdom, then that's the most important thing. You know his will. That primary will should be what you are obsessed with, not the secondary will. If you are obsessed with knowing God's word and what he wants for his people and knowing what he has promised to do and knowing where you fit in that, that's the most important part. Then that secondary part, you're discerning, you're depending on the Lord, you're seeking his heart, and you obey whatever he reveals, but most of the time, there's great freedom. Just do whatever you do to the glory of God. So for the most part, if you are humbly seeking God's will and you are determined to seek his heart and just to be faithful the best you can, and you're learning the word of God, then you too, if you're in Christ, should be able to say, I know for certain God has me with this spouse, in this job, at that church, in this city, and I know why. It's to glorify him. It's to serve the Lord wherever I am. And so we should be a people who have great certainty about God's will in our life. All of the word of God points to one idea, and that is it is all about Jesus. Actually, these prophecies weren't ultimately perfectly fulfilled in Jesus. In David, they were fulfilled in Jesus. What we're going to see in 2 Samuel 7 is even David is told, you ain't the final king. One of your sons, referring to Jesus, will be the final king. And so what we discover as we see the word of God, we align ourselves up with the will of God by aligning ourselves with Jesus. And when you put your faith in Christ, and you receive his forgiveness, and he adopts you as his child, he saves you so that you become a servant of the king, so that you can know for certain who you are. When you trust in Christ, you know right then and there what your purpose in life is. It is to serve King Jesus. And you can know with great certainty where you are right now. God has sovereignly and providentially worked through the circumstances of your life to place you in that job, to place you with that spouse, no matter what the marriage looks like right now, to place you with those children, no matter how it's going right now, to place you in this city, in that community, with those neighbors. God has you there for a purpose, to serve King Jesus, to serve the kingdom, to advance the kingdom, to help them know Jesus, to help them grow in Jesus, to glorify God with everything you say and do. So there's two wills of God in your life, the primary and the secondary. Secondary is harder to figure out, but it really isn't that hard. Just focus on the primary, and that will take care of itself most of the times. Father God, we ask that you'll help us be faithful in what you want us to do, Lord. Help us to know that if you have saved us, you have called us to serve your kingdom wherever we are. I pray, Lord, that as we seek decisions day in and day out, that we will seek you with a humble dependence on you, to ask you to desperately hunger to be faithful to you, but ultimately help us to know that if we want to know your will, it's to serve you day in and day out. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they will come to know you as their Savior, that they will come to know your will for their life is to trust in Jesus and to serve Jesus all the days of their life. Lord, I pray that you will reveal to people all across this room how you want them to be faithful where you have them, so that we will be messengers of the gospel, that we will reflect your glory wherever we go. Lord, help us know your word, to trust you and obey you in the days ahead. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.